Now, I'm very pleased today to be joined once more by Brian Hughes from Shenfield based solicitors, Rayner Hughes. So, welcome once more to Phoenix FM, Brian. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Scott.
And now I hear you're beginning to acquire a rather star quality locally as a result of all your visits to us.
Not sure about that.
Now, anyway, last time you were here, we were talking about shared drives, and this time you're going to be looking at the related issue of boundary disputes. So perhaps for starters, you could talk us through the basics of this.
Yeah. In my 50 years of being a solicitor, I've come across many types of boundary dispute. Basically, there are two types. The first type is a matter of who owns what. The second is a matter of who's responsible for what. In the case of who owns the boundary, what boundary? Disputes can relate to strips of land no more than a few inches wide. In fact, they are the most frequent. Sometimes they can arise because a boundary between the two properties is not clearly defined on the ground. For example, a hedge or tree has grown on a boundary and has obscured the line of it. Sometimes, however, they can arise out of a blatant attempt on the part of one owner to acquire land that belonging to a neighbour and incorporate it into his own. The fact is that if you remove a neighbour's tree or shrub from his garden, or anything from the surface of his land, like a paving stone or a statue, you're guilty of theft, a criminal offence. But under English law, there's no concept of theft of land. It can't be stolen. It can only be possessed by someone other than the rightful owner. And if it is possessed for long enough, the person who's possessed it can often acquire a title to it. There are no criminal sanctions for trying to acquire somebody else's land.
Now, I have to say, I'm absolutely amazed by that. I'm finding it astonishing that apparently somebody comes along and digs up a rose bush, it's a criminal offence, but pinching your land isn't. That seems a bit strange.
No, it's absolutely true. Yeah.
Incredible. So, anyway, you have cases of ignorance or genuine misunderstandings on the one hand, and shall we say, acquisitiveness on the other.
Yes. Well, ignorance of who owns what is very common. It can be based on the imprecise description and recording of boundaries, or more often, an understanding of the true position, and a refusal on the part of one owner to admit that he or she is wrong. In the final analysis, many disputes arise because one of the owners lacks consideration for his or her neighbour and is prepared to be difficult, irrespective of the facts which he or she has probably not checked. More boundary disputes occur between the owners of residential properties than between commercial or agricultural neighbours, and residential landowners tend to be more emotional, standing by what they consider are their rights and seeking, often on the basis of flawed information, a resolution that is acceptable to them.
Okay. Now, as you stressed before, if you go and take a dispute to the court, it's going to cost you a fortune, with lawyers being the only winners. So that's not really a good idea, is it?
Well, it's costly too, not just in monetary terms, but also in the human cost in emotional terms of still having to live next door to your neighbour. And if you move, you're legally bound to disclose the dispute, something which will impact on the sale value of your property.
So what's the best way of resolving a boundary dispute? Because you're going to have these disputes, aren't you?
Sure. The first thing to do is get hold of the title plans of the properties on each side of the disputed boundary. On each title plan, the boundary will appear as a thin black line. Inside the thin black line, there will be a red line. And where the thin black line and the red line meet, that will be what the land registry call the general boundary. The reason the land registry call it a general boundary is that the land registry cannot guarantee that it's the actual boundary. They will only guarantee it if the deeds from which the land registry have plotted the boundaries of the property give precise dimensions in feet and inches. Many old conveyances and quite a few transfers of property on modern estates give precise dimensions. These are the best documents for resolving the precise line of a boundary and can take most of the heat out of an argument about who owns what. You can get hold of these plans for any registered property in England and Wales by going online. It's not difficult to obtain them, but remember that the boundary is often not clearly defined on the ground.
Now, you mentioned that you can get the property, the details of the properties. I assume that is also, you mentioned that you can get them for the properties next door. Now, I didn't realise you could do that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right. No.
But most of them don't give you these details in feet and inches, do they? They're just put them on.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, as you've mentioned before, there's a second type of dispute, and what's that?
Well, this concerns the responsibility for the maintenance of your fencing. There may be a copy of the original conveyance plans in your certificate of title, which will normally contain a reference to responsibility for maintaining the fences or boundary walls marked T within the boundary. So look out for the T marks on the plans. If they're within your boundary, they are your responsibility. The fences on the right and the rear, as you look at the property from the road, are usually your responsibility. Another way of telling who's responsible is by looking at the posts holding up your boundary fences. If the posts are on your side, the fence is yours. If the posts are on the other side, the neighbour's side, the fence is his. Owners are not usually made responsible for fences on both sides of their land, and you have to extrapolate and determine responsibility in that way. And as I've said earlier, always use your head and not your heart when it comes to dealing with boundary problems, or be willing to lose your shirt.
Now, what would happen if you've had to put a fence slightly inside your boundary because the people who own the property next to you wouldn't repair their fence, and therefore any people were walking across your property? So you've put a fence up there, and now you've got the you've now got the fence posts on your side.
Well, I would say that you shouldn't repair the whole line of the fence, because you wish to make sure that the original line of the fence is clear. But there's nothing to stop you putting fencing up with the posts on your side if part of it has fallen down and the neighbour refuses to do anything. You do get some neighbours who do that, and I had a recent case of that. And in fact, once we'd produced the conveyance plans, going back to, I think it was about 1930. Once we'd done that, the neighbour reluctantly agreed to repair the fence.
Oh, good stuff. Well, good advice as usual, Brian. So thanks very much for coming in again. And what are your subject next time?
Well, I thought your listeners might be interested in noisy neighbours.
Oh, right. Seems like a good one. Okay, noisy neighbours. We look forward to that in perhaps about a month or so's time. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you
very much indeed once more.